I am Plata on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Stephen Hume joins me again. He has a new book out, A Walk with the Rainey Sisters in Praise of British Columbia's Places. It's a collection of wonderful essays that eloquently describe some timeless places, some remarkable people, all reminding us of what's great about this province. The book is at once grand as it in how it describes some larger-than-life people and places, but also intimate in parts where it talks about the beauty of some places that we're automatically transported to thanks to the author's eloquence and deep love for this part of the world. It's a great book, one that's been described elsewhere as the best summation of life in British Columbia ever published. Stephen Hume is an award-winning journalist who for more than 20 years now has been a columnist and senior writer at the Vancouver Sun. He's won many awards for his journalism and writing. His previous book was the wonderful Simon Fraser, In Search of Modern British Columbia. This new book, already a bestseller, is from Harbor Publishing. Mr. Hume will be speaking next Wednesday night, the 15th of December, at the Vancouver Public Library at 7 p.m. Please welcome back to the Plante Online program, Stephen Hume. Good morning, Mr. Hume.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks for joining us. This is such a great book, and I've enjoyed reading it, and I don't know, in some parts of the book, you think there are books for these topics themselves. Did you think that writing this?
I think this book is meant to be a reflection of what's an extraordinarily deep place. And so there's opportunity everywhere you turn in this province for much deeper contemplation and thought about where we fit into the great scheme of life itself on the planet. Such a remarkable place. You know, if you think of British Columbia, put yourself in the position of being a grade school kid in which you outline the map of British Columbia in a piece of wax paper and then take it over and lay it on Europe, for example. The region alone covers an area about the size of Scandinavia, Germany, France, and the British Isles, the Low Countries, part of Spain. It's a huge place. And yet, so many British Columbians never venture very far outside the urban confines of the province. And it's all out there waiting to be experienced by people who just take a little bit of time to look around. I used to travel in Europe and take my holidays elsewhere. And now I wonder why I did that, because there's so much here that I will never see in my own lifetime that just waits to be explored and experienced.
Yeah. See, I've lived in Vancouver my whole life, and you know, I've never... Yeah, I'm one of those people that haven't traveled very much. Do you do that often? Do you do that throughout the year?
I try and get out whenever I can. I try and get out into the province somewhere, even if it's just to put on my hiking shoes and go for a hike in the backcountry around my region, which is on the Saanich Peninsula. The Saanich Peninsula alone has a phenomenal history and diversity of climatic zones. There are mountains, there are glaciated areas, there are rolling farm fields, there are sandy beaches and rocky wild shores. I was out the other day walking through an arbutus forest, which is a most remarkable kind of experience when you think of what arbutus trees are like. To be in a whole forest of them is really something.
How long have you lived there?
Well, I've lived in many different parts of British Columbia. I've lived in the interior. I've lived out on the west coast of Vancouver Island. I've lived out in the Gulf Islands. I've lived on the east coast of Vancouver Island up in the Comox Valley. I've lived here, where I am now, for about 15 years.
Yeah.
And every time I go out, I find something new.
Is there part of the province that you identify most with?
I would. When I was away from the province, I worked away from the province for quite a few years. I was up in the Arctic, and then in the prairies for a while. But and when I was there, I would have said that I identified myself with the West Coast. But the more I travel in the province, the more I realize that there are probably half a dozen different regions of the province where I could quite happily live and enjoy myself. And I think I would find the environment just as rich in any one of those places as here. There's the whole arid rain shadow that lies behind the Coast Range. There's the Chilcotin Plateau, where you can travel across the grasslands and see Mount Waddington rising on the coast, 13,000 feet with the sun on it. It's almost a spiritual kind of experience. There's the Spatsizi Plateau with its wilderness and its great lava flows. There's the Skeena Canyon, which some people have likened to the Grand Canyon. It's an amazing, amazing place. The northeastern part of the province, up in the Peace River, is rich and diverse and completely different from most of the rest of British Columbia. It itself has all kinds of little microclimates. And then as you travel up into the Alpine regions, you've got the High Rockies, and you've got the Monashies, which are have been heavily glaciated. You've got the deserts of the South Okanagan. I mean, it's just an amazing place.
The weather is something that our part of the world is sort of known for, and either made fun of or derided. How do you react to? I mean, rain is the thing that we're known for in this part of the world.
Oh, I love the rain. I never complain about the rain. You know, complaining about the rain is like complaining because the sun comes up every morning. I mean, it's one of those things that happens. It's part of life. It rains here in the wintertime. And the rain itself, to me, is the symbol of life itself. I never complain about the rain. I don't go away in the wintertime. I quite like it here. I don't mind rainy day. I even walk in the rain. It doesn't bother me. It's not a problem to get wet. You get wet in the shower every morning. Why would you worry about getting wet from nature occasionally? I love the rain. I think the rain is great. And the rain replenishes the whole province. It recharges all of the aquifers. It falls as precipitation in the high mountains, and so we get its benefits throughout the summer. In fact, where would we be if we didn't have rain? We certainly wouldn't be enjoying the benefits that we get from hydroelectricity.
The pieces in this book, are they all new?
No. These pieces have gradually been assimilating, I guess you would say, accreting. Over the last 20 years or so, I think the first essay in the book was written 20 years ago, and then some of them are quite recent. So it's just been a long, slow accumulation of experiences across the province, because the province is so big and rich and diverse that I think you need time to allow the experiences to sink in and resurface. And the book is very much one of contemplation and reflection rather than, the quick hit.
Yeah, and how should we read the book? Should we read it cover to cover, or should we just go dip here and there?
I think you should read it any way you like.
I'm
usually a dipper when it comes to essays myself. I read an essay and then think about it, and then read another one and think about it, but on other occasions, I've picked up a book by somebody I really admire as a writer, and I read it cover to cover, and then read it again. So there really is no one way, I think, to approach these literary accumulations. It simply depends upon your taste and your time and how you like to read.
You're considered a writer that's identifiably British Columbian. How does that happen? Does that happen, I guess, at a young age, or does that happen over time because you've lived throughout the province or because of your career?
Well, I think it's a combination of all those things. I came to British Columbia in 1948, so I've been here for a long time, longer than probably half of the population, maybe more than half of the population, aside from my jaunts away looking for work. So I think you gradually absorb the richness of the province if you are open to it, if you want to absorb it, if you want to stay in your high-rise in Vancouver and get all your experiences vicariously through the web and TV, then you probably won't. You'll probably identify with something else. But I think if you get out onto the land itself and experience it in all its timelessness and the grandeur of the place and its beauty, from little microcosms to these vast landscapes, then I think it's very difficult not to begin to become part of the place itself. And I think that's what happens. As you spend longer in a place and become more sensitive to it and aware of it in all its diversity, it begins to infiltrate your own consciousness. It's almost as though you're becoming fossilized, if I can use that term in a non-pejorative way. You know, if you think about how fossils take place, they gradually absorb the minerals of the surrounding environment. And I think that's what happens if you're open to the place that you live. If you get out and want to experience it, gradually it will become you and you will become part of it.
Where were you born, Stephen?
I was born in Blackpool in England, in Lancashire, which is on the west coast of the British Isles. It's on the Irish Sea, but I remember absolutely nothing about it. I was 18 months old when I came to Canada.
Yeah. What is it about people like yourself that come here? I mean, I'm thinking of like Gene Barman and Mark Forsyth and who come from elsewhere, yet they come here, and then it's almost like when I hear you guys talk about your love for BC, it's almost like a religious experience.
Well, could you say familiarity maybe breeds contempt or something? But I don't think that's really the case. I mean, in my own case, I come from somewhere else, only in a technical sense. My conscious life has been here from the very beginning, and I was lucky to have parents who appreciated their surroundings for what they were and took me out. You know, so one of the things that I remember is my father taking his kids on a trip in which he drove through the Yellowhead Pass of the Rocky Mountains before the highway was built. This would be in the late 50s or early 60s, I guess. I remember we did it in an old blue Comet station wagon, probably around 1960. And lots of times we drove down the railway track because there was no road. And I guess I absorbed that interest and curiosity in the province itself from him and from my mother, who was a great outdoors woman. And and I've always been interested in the natural world as a consequence of that. All my brothers are the same. I have I've got five brothers, and they're all very fascinated by the natural world and love this province as well. So I think it's a matter of what you are prepared to expose yourself to and how you react to it.
Is the relationship with the land, because in reading the book I was wondering about this, is this something that's largely the preserve of boomers like yourself? I mean, do you find that young people are as attached to it? Do you find that immigrant peoples are the same?
Yeah, I think I do think that people become attached to it, but I think it's a process that takes time. It's not one that you can simply arrive and suddenly adopt. It's something that you absorb from your surroundings. And I'm always reminded when people ask questions like this of an encounter I had with a couple of young Inuit fellows, gosh, more than 35 years ago now, almost 40 years ago, out in the bush and one of them was skinning a caribou, and I was asking some questions about land claims, which were just beginning to emerge at that point as a political issue. And he looked up at me. I remember him looking up at me with blood all over his hands up to his forearms and laughing, and his teeth were very white and they were flashing. And he said, you white guys, he said, you think we want to own the land? He said, we can't own the land. The land owns us.
Hmm.
And I feel that way. I feel the land owns us, and we need to be respectful of that relationship and that bond that we have.
Well, we're going through a midst of sort of political change here, with the leadership of both of our parties are changing as we speak. Do you think it matters who becomes a leader, say, of the either political party? Did you think that they have to get BC the way that you do?
Well, I think it matters. It matters for the province in the macro sense, in the big picture. In the smaller picture, which I consider to be the picture of month-to-month and quarter-to-quarter economics and things like unemployment trends and things like that, I'm not sure it matters that much. But in the big picture, it does matter, because one thing that you experience when you stand out on the west coast of Vancouver Island, say at Botanical Beach, and you watch the big rollers coming in, or if you're up at San Joseph Bay and the breakers are crashing onto that white sand beach and they've come all the way from China, you realize that beach is going to be there a heck of a lot longer than any human beings are likely to be there. And so you need to think about, we need to be thinking in the long term. We should be thinking 100 years out and 150 years out, 200 years out, instead of this manic focus upon the next quarter and the last quarter and what's going to happen in the next 6 months. We as individuals are not going to be here in 100 years, but certainly descendants are going to be here, and we have to think of ourselves as being somehow part of them and connected to them. Well, we are part of them, and we're connected to them, to the unborn and to future generations. And we really need to be thinking much, much more seriously about our relationship with the land and their inheritance.
Are you generally hopeful for this part of the world, for the province?
Yeah, I am hopeful. I'm hopeful. I see signs everywhere and all the time that people are awakening to some of the big questions that we now have to start grappling with and answering. And I have great faith in the people. I have great faith in democracy and great faith in people's ability to make the right decisions. Sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes it takes longer than you would like. But generally speaking, it happens. 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, when Roderick Haig Brown was leading the fight against the development of Strathcona Provincial Park, which was British Columbia's first provincial park, and I've written recently about the Great Exploring Expedition, which resulted in it being made into a park. He was vilified and reviled as a fool and an enemy of development, an enemy of growth, an enemy of people. Now he's revered as a person with great foresight. And the essay that he wrote 50 years ago, Let Them Eat Sawdust, which was about the future of a country which paid no attention to its natural environment, I think shows that the values that he espoused 50 years ago are beginning to be accepted today. So there's a process at work here, and I'm optimistic about that process. Is it going to be a perfect future? No. Are there going to be some tragedies and losses on the way? Yes. Are people awakening to the realities of what happens if they foul their own environmental nest? Yes. So, I am optimistic. I'm hopeful.
How often do you appear in the sun?
Well, I've been on a leave. Now I don't come back to work until sometime in January, but I appear in the sun twice a week.
Yeah. And do you teach regularly?
I do teach, but I only teach one course. I don't have time with my duties from the sun to do more than that, but I teach one writing course at the University of Victoria, and I occasionally teach a research course or a writing course at Vancouver Island University, which is in Nanaimo.
Yeah. As you know, I'm a great fan of your work, and so this book, I really love this book. Are you working on another one?
I am not working on another one right now, but I hope to be.
Yeah.
I'm just taking a bit of a breather now. But I have thoughts about other books in the future. I never talk about what I'm going to write about because I've learned long ago that if you talk about it, you don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, in reading the book, there are pieces in here like, I forget their names now, the couple in the lighthouses. I mean, the stuff about the fires.
Yes.
It just seems to me like, you know, as I said off the top, that there are pieces in here that could have been books themselves.
Oh, I think that may well be the case, and it may well be in the future. Who knows?
Yeah.
Very often I find that if I'm writing a shorter essay or poetry, for example, I'm actually writing shorthand notes to myself for something that I will come back to later on. Sometimes not. You never really know. It's always a bit of a gamble in terms of what is going to emerge from your experience and grab you by the throat and say, you got to write about me now.
And things are good with you, health-wise and otherwise?
Yeah, things are coming along. I'm as good as can be expected. That's what we used to say when I was a young police reporter.
Great. That's just great to hear. Stephen, best of the season. Happy Christmas. I've enjoyed the conversation as ever.
And best to you and to all of your listeners and readers online.
Thanks very much. The book is called A Walk with the Rainy Sisters in Praise of British Columbia Places. It's from Harbor Publishing. Its author, Stephen Hume, on the line. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Plantum.